smell the clots.
You smell that? I smelled a little bit of that VP Ultimate 4 there, bro.
I still got the clots in my nose, man. I'm still smelling the clots. Hey, here we are. We're back. Sorry about that. We were off a little for a couple weeks to take care of some business, but Third Moto is back, whether you like us or not. Here we are. I'm Jerry Brown.
And this is Rich Crothers, ThirdMoto.com, Third Moto Podcast, Third Moto Yahoo Everything.
And we are at ThirdMoto@Yahoo.com if you want to email us. Well, RC,
yep.
Doubleheader.
Doubleheader, backing them up, Detroit and Houston. We're going to do a post-race review on both of those races, do a little catching up.
Houston, we had no problems.
That's what they say. Detroit, no problems. Cruise control. It looked kind of to me like the opening rounds of World Supercross in Canada with James Stewart spanking the monkeys.
Yeah, well, he's spanking the monkeys behind the goat. He's not spanking RC. RC is, you know, he's all right. He's all right. I think he understands the situation.
Well, it's hard to read into that. There's no doubt about it because Ricky Carmichael is in the points lead, and he's going to protect his points lead. He does that every year. He gets ahead of everybody half of the season, and then they beat him at the end of the season. Everybody goes, oh, he's lost his touch. But you know what? He wins a title, and they don't. So
yeah, somehow he winds up with the championship again. Yeah, that always happens. I hate when that happens, especially if you're Chad Reed or Kevin Windham. Kevin Windham's back again, thanks to him. He looked pretty good, I thought. Gave Reed a little problems. Hey, how about the checkup by RC on Chad Reed?
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, he put the move on him, stopped him, parked him, didn't hit him, didn't toss him over to hay bales.
Looked at him.
It was a clean block pass.
Looked at him.
Stopped, turned around, looked at him, dumped the clutch, took off.
That was beautiful. And then he had the nerve to get, Chad Reed has the nerve to get pissed. What's he getting pissed about?
Getting beat.
He should have been pissed a long time ago.
Getting beat.
He's always getting beat. He should be pissed a long time ago.
Well,
you know, and Bubba making it boring again, which is, you know, kind of what we're used to when he gets out there in front. He just kind of runs away and makes it boring. But you know what? It's not as hard. I mean, it's not as easy as it looks. I'm sure it's not.
No, that guy's got mad skills.
Yeah, yeah. If he's not falling, he's gone.
And they said this whole Supercross season for 2006 with James Stewart, he's won every heat race he's been in. Every
one. Yeah, yeah.
And he wins when he don't fall down. And lately he's not falling down, but there you go again. There's that strategy. The last half of the season, Ricky Carmichael in the points lead. He knows he can get a second, win the title. How far are you going to hang it out and risk falling down, getting hurt, and not winning the title?
What's more important? Did you see the whole shot he got?
Who?
Houston?
Who?
Stewart.
No, Michael Byrne got the whole
shot. I mean,
shot.
Michael Byrne got the whole shot, but was it? He got a big whole shot. I thought that was Detroit or Houston. He got way out in front. I'm a little off since, you know, we haven't been back here in a couple weeks, so I'm kind of remembering he got a big start, and I think there was it could have been Orlando, but he got a big start, got way out in front, and they said they did some on his motor, so you know, got some motor.
Well, they put a magnet in it so the front wheel would stick to the ground.
How did?
So he wouldn't fall down in the first turn.
Exactly, yeah, because it's working.
Right,
it's working.
Right. They put a magnet in there or something. A muffler bearing was replaced.
Yeah, a muffler bearing. Yeah. This guy, my first job at a motorcycle shop, this guy calls me up and asked me to look for a muffler bearing.
Yeah.
It took me half a day to look for the muffler bearing, then took me the other half of the day to realize it was him. Yeah.
School that boy.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you know, everybody's got to have a little bit of that.
Yeah,
you know? Thanks for
bringing that back up. Hey, what about that yellow pass? Now, when you were talking earlier, you said they can pass on the yellow.
Well, I'm seeing it and I'm reading about it. And to me, yellow meant everybody be cool, look for the down rider, make sure you're out of the way. Nobody passes nobody. But I see these guys passing. I guess they can do whatever they want. I mean, look at a fuel rule. Look at the carnage AMA's in, and everybody quitting the AMA, and then this and that and the other thing, and who knows?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I mean, you know, we had some issues in another race this weekend where a guy got docked a point for, you know, passing on yellow. So I don't understand. Even at the local tracks, they tell you, you know, be careful, do not pass on the yellow. So, you know, I guess they want the race to be entertaining, so they let that kind of stuff go on. And I think, a few weeks back, or I don't know, about 3 or 4 weeks back, Josh Grant was trying to double over in a yellow section, and he fell down and lost the race to Millsaps. So I don't know what's going on with the yellows. And they, I see in Racer X every once in a while, they have flagmen of the day. These flagmen just aren't getting out there. But this latest group, they are getting out there. But, you know, what for if the guys just let them pass under yellow?
Well, I think you just can't run over the guy's head on a yellow and you're fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'll move on. I'll move on off of it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another thing we want to talk about, K-Dub is back, and we're going to talk about the lights too, but K-Dub being back, he's pushing Chad.
Yeah. I mean,
he finished ninth his first time out, and then he got fourth, you know.
And a fourth, a good-looking fourth, too. He always looks good riding. Whenever you see him riding, that's like schooling. If you could study his riding and ride like that.
It sure was. And, you know we got to talk about my man, Nick Way.
Yeah?
Come on, tell me about him. And if you've listened to the show from the beginning, you know I've been touting Nick Way from the very beginning. And it looks like he's getting all the TV time, getting up on the podium. You think he's going to have a factory ride next year?
Well, you know, the problem is there's one guy on each team that gets paid a lot, and everybody else is just trying to run for what's left over.
I'm not trying to bust on Ernesto Fonseca, but in his present situation, he is getting better. And Ernesto, you know, hope you get better out there. Worry about your health first and worry about the riding later. But, you know, you think that might possibly open up something, you know, next year or even...
Well,
I mean...
There you go. LaRocco retired.
Yeah. So Honda's in a bind, right?
Ernie's on a DL list. Is that what they call that in other sports?
Yeah, he's on a big DL, though.
Yeah, so who knows? It might open something up. Who knows? Honda's probably going to hire James Stewart next year, so...
You think so?
No, it's April Fool's joke.
I was going to say, you better keep not telling me something.
April Fool's joke, just like the Dave Villeman, Tyler Evans one-punch team thing.
Let's wait to talk about our favorite TV guy, since he's not getting any TV time. We'll talk about him later.
We'll bring back a little old school for a while, because we are third moto.
Yeah,
right?
And you know, we've been hearing some good news, too, about the outdoor. We'll go into lights, too, but I just want to mention before I forget, and we'll talk about it later, about the outdoor being back on All In and Aaron Bates being back. You know, I hate when they juggle a lineup like that. You know, you get used to one and they bring back the other. But anyway, Millsap wrapping up the lights.
Hey, the guy was a powerhouse all year, and if it wasn't for Josh Grant fell. Yeah, but the winner, you know, the spoils go to those who can make it through the whole deal.
Well, I think a couple weeks ago you were saying that he's going to get out in front of Cruz. He couldn't afford a Cruz.
Yeah.
He couldn't afford a cruise.
Millsaps did it, and you know, I think it's redemption for him because he was much ballyhooed going into the pro ranks just like Alessi was, and he failed miserably.
Well, if he does go to the outdoor and ride the 450 this year, like I said, you heard again before on the show, I call Josh Grant a sleeper. This kid is something.
Well, back to Millsaps, the talk is that he's going to ride the 450 at the remaining Supercross races.
Ooh.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see that because there's a guy that's on top of the lights game, and he's a big kid. He's too big for that 250's lights.
He's going to be nice on that 450.
So that's going to be interesting to see how he does. And, you know, he doesn't have any pressure at all on him, so he's going to go out there and have fun. He's going to lay it down as hard as he can. And
I think this puts more pressure on Chad.
Well, yeah, puts pressure on all those guys, you know.
Yeah, you know, he can get in and mix it up. I mean, he's going to be at that 450 now. I mean, putting him out there on that 450 amongst those guys, and you know, and you see the way he goes through the hoops. He's just like bouncing through them. Big kick and handle the bike. They going to have something on their hands. It's going to be a good. It's going to be a good super MX outdoor. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in there and seeing him mix it up with the. Supercross light with the Supercross guys here in the end, but yeah, another thing too. Why don't you tell us about 352?
Well, 352. I got to give out the word to one of the racers we support, Kevin Marquardt, made it in night program at Houston, and I need to thank, believe it or not, Tyler Evans' mechanic for helping him out with some parts and a little bit of tuning and stuff like that. And we did a little wrenching on his bike, made the night program. Went out in the first turn of last chance qualifier, went down, seen another rider pinned under his bike that was unconscious, got up himself instead of jumping his bike and getting going again, picked this guy's bike up off him. So that was
right
pretty
on.
Cool.
That was cool. That pretty was cool. It was good.
Speaking
to see
of another
that.
Guy that was a local guy done good that retired and came back, the guy that replaced Dave Villeman on the Buku team, Josh DeMuth.
Yeah, that's right.
Never been on a team before. Unfortunately, he missed the main by one spot, third in LCQ.
Who did he replace?
Dave Villeman.
Hey, was that David over there, like, in France there, wanting to get a job for life? protests, you know? No, he was riding, right?
The Buku? Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, he's, okay, he's the one that says he went over to France to have his doctor look at his ankle, and there were pictures of him riding.
I mean, what's up with this guy? What's up with this? I haven't seen the reality speed, but you know what? I didn't see last week's version, but you know what? I think you don't really have to. You can just read the internet and see what's going on. And if you've seen any of them, you look at this guy, he's like, you know, he doesn't feel privileged at all. He's just kind of, seems like he's just kind of taking advantage. And this is a ride that a lot of guys would die for. And he just doesn't seem interested in it. And it kind of makes me mad.
Not Jerry, not even only a ride that maybe you'd die for. Maybe their bikes are junk. Maybe they don't know how to do their motors. Maybe they don't, blah, 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 blah. But the opportunity that gives that rider for exposure with that television show, you know, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, you can put your place in and you can get your results, but you need the endorsements too. You need to make a good living at it, get the exposure, get the fan base behind you. And you know what? Have them buy some motors, have them buy some Shoei kit suspension. You can make a nice bike. Go out there and pound some laps, go training and stuff like that. To me, it seems like he believes he has some sort of entitlement to all this.
Yeah, and he didn't train.
You know, the reality of it is,
reality,
people only
right.
remember you of your last race.
Yeah. And
so
he hasn't had a last race yet.
No.
So.
All right, we don't mean to be bashing on him because we've seen him put in some good rides and stuff like that, and we want to see everybody in their competitive mixing it up.
But you got to realize, we're old school guys. We came up when, you know, you got to ride, man. You got to earn your ride. So, you know, Bob Hanna earning, what, $1,000 a week? You know, $1,000 a month? Well, more like $1,000 a week. I take it, but still, you know, guys like that who built the sport up the way it is, it's kind of sad to see something like that, especially, you know, guy coming over from another place and taking a ride from, you know, another American rider, which I don't have a problem with as long as the guy's good. But like you said, enough about DV and no TV. I think they should have gone with Nick Way. Nick Way's my guy. I want to try to get him on somehow, some way, somehow soon. I like that guy. Moving on, what do you think we got going on next week? We got a 2-week break. What do you think these guys are going to be doing?
Well, we're going to go into Dallas, Seattle, and then Vegas for the East Meets West Lights. But Dallas will start off the remaining two real races for the Lights West title. And
as I told you, I don't like Vegas.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, I mean, it's all about the ducats. And you know, some of those guys can't even go to the party. Stewart can't go to the party. He says he's going to be at the car track all day. You know, so.
Yeah, but he said he could find a way to pound a bottle down in a motorhome or something like that.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Hey, this is Third Moto, and if you want to try to reach us, we're at thirdmoto@yahoo.com, and that's the word thirdmoto@yahoo.com. I'm Jerry Brown, and this is my partner,
Rich Crothers, Third Moto. Coming at you?
Yeah, we've been off for a couple weeks. Had to take care of some business, but, you know, we've been keeping up with what's going on out there, and we got some things we're going to be working on, and we can't really say anything right now, but we hope to make it interesting. If you checked out the blog, check out that MX Action from 76. 75 cents, that thing was.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money.
Man, I was scraping to find 75 cents. And you guys were all over me for buying those things and reading them all the time.
Yeah, well, we did too. I used to buy two copies of them so I could tear out all the colored pictures.
Yeah, I know. Walls. Yeah, so. I got my walls had the tape markings all over them too. So yeah, I know what you mean. But we hope to get some more pictures up there. Some pictures. RC's gonna go out and ride this week, so we're gonna go out and see what he can do and maybe put some pictures of him up there. You can see what he looks like. He's put it this way. I know what you're gonna think when you see the pictures of him on his bike, but it just coincidentally happened to work out that way. That he's got number 101 on a Suzuki. So don't be too hard on him. It just happened to work out that way.
My initials RC were initials in 1957, so no, I didn't try and copy some other famous guy by the name of number 4.
Yeah, and he doesn't ride like the goat, he rides more like the lamb.
Oh, man,
sorry. Bang zoom.
The older I get, the faster I was.
That's right, okay. That's right.
Yeah.
We have to bring Chad in here and tell us some of the races that he beat you in.
Yeah, well, one of them. Anyways, talking third moto, Jerry, I've got something for you I wanted to throw out on this show. A little food for thought.
Throw it out.
Now, back in the day when all of us were younger and we raced motocross and we were really serious about it and we had our bikes and You found your level and you were competitive in whatever classes you were in. Doesn't matter what it was.
Okay, man, I was in B class.
Okay,
take
that's
it
cool.
easy. Take
C,
it
B,
easy.
A, pro, whatever. All I can think of now is I see some of these kids now that are like, I don't believe they have jack for talent, but they can jump like the moon, and the bikes are so much better. The older guys have to learn and adapt to these bikes. Now, my question for you is, if you were racing the guys you used to race with on the old bikes, and they were on the old bikes, and you were on a new bike, you could lay wood to them.
Yeah,
okay?
Maybe.
Now, here's the question. The guys that were the pros back then, let's say the Ricky Johnsons, Jeff Stantons, Bob Hannas, not Damon Bradshaw's, but prior to that, Shock air-cooled bikes, the Marty Smiths, Brad Lackey's, Jimmy Winert's, okay, Roger DeCoster's. If you had today's bike and do some practice and raced on a track with those guys on their old bikes, how would you do?
What, are you talking about a new version of Unleashed Old School or something?
Excellent. Whatever you want to call it, sure. You know, Supercross versus ATV Unleashed. I'm talking Roger DeCoster on his old RM370,
you know what?
And you on
question.
A new bike.
That's a good question.
So give it some food for thought. Get back to us on our email site, which is
thirdmoto@yahoo.com, and that's the word, thirdmoto. That's an interesting question. It's kind of like comparing, you know, Babe Ruth, how would he do today versus yesterday, and how would you do it to him? Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's always good. I like it when we can kind of now compare our sport to other sports. And I think, you know, our sport is legitimate no matter what. But that's always kind of cool when you can go back and say, yeah, I wonder how those guys would do on a bike today, and you know, you just see what they would think and how they would feel. I know when you first told me you started riding, you said, going over the end, over the front like that was not the scary. Usually, you're going down.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nose landing. And
yeah.
Dropping the wheel and the backside and all of that stuff and seat bouncing.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times. I've seat bounced plenty of times and I've nose dived plenty of times. On the ground though.
By accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. By accident.
That's the thing an old school guy has to overcome to ride a new bike at its. Abilities, that motorcycle's abilities. So I always think, man, if I had this bike and could just show up at that old race, they would ban that bike. They would ban that bike.
They'd be
that's
scared
what
of
happen.
Remember
they'd
how?
Be like, you, that's not legal. That's not fair, you know.
You can't do that. Remember when a thumper would come out? Everybody would go to the sidetrack. Oh, somebody's got a thumper. You can hear it. It's like, whoa, I hear it. Where is it? Where is it? And it was Wayne Walzine or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
But then it'd kick them over the bars, too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Or it wouldn't start.
Oh, man. You know, you're getting on me the other day for the picture. I thought it was a CZ, but it was a Mako. But, you know, I know my bike, so. But, yeah, you know what? Yeah, talk about that and, you know, chew it up and feed us some of that. And, like I said, we're gonna be going out to some tracks. Your first race is this week.
Sunday, Aztalan, which is a Midwest motocross track that's been there for over 30 years.
And you know what? We'd like to get out and hear what you guys think about these races and what's going on. It's always fun just to talk to guys about, you know, Stuart Carmichael and those guys and just banter about it. You know, everybody has their side. Everybody thinks this and everybody thinks that. It's, you know what? I love, that's the part when I kind of got away from racing, I really miss that part. Even just if you're bragging about yourself and you know you're going to get out there and get smoked. You know, or, well, I don't want to go out. Who's here? Is he here today? Okay, good. I can get some points today. I can get some points. Yeah, remember those days?
Yeah, where you try and overthink everything. And now I just go out there and race. And sometimes people show up and like, oh, God, here's that guy's going to beat me. And half the time I have no clue what's going to happen and with who. You know, I don't race every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at the same locale, so I mix it up. I go where I want to go, when I want to go. I have a good time. If I don't want to go, I don't go. If the weather sucks, I don't go. I don't care.
Hey, go out on a limb and tell me who's going to win the West.
Well, I've got a lot of respect for what Andrew Short's accomplished.
I do, too. I do, too.
You know,
he's Mr. Nice Guy. Mr. Nice Guy.
He avoids all the drama.
Yep.
He goes in. He's got a smile on his face. He lays down.
Always smiling. Always smiling.
He does the best he can. And, you know, he overcame an injury to be where he's at in the middle of the West Lights season two. So I got to give him his props.
I don't mean to say, you know, the light came on, but, you know, he was always there, but it just seemed like the light just came on for him, you know, all of a sudden.
Well, I think he's taken a lot of people now that are really serious that want to lay it down are taking the Ricky Carmichael creed, and that's work hard, train hard, practice hard, focus, stay away from all the other obstacles that are in your way and just do what you got to do.
I think that West is tough. I think the West is tough.
There seems to be more parity.
Right. Don't get me wrong, the East is good, but I think the West is pretty tough. You got Langston there. When Langston's not hurt or he's on, he's pretty good. You see what he said about his South African passport? He might as well be a terrorist. He can't go back. He can't go back because of his passport. He don't want to show it to anybody. That's in this month's issue of Racer X.
Gotcha.
It's in there. Yes, we read Racer X. Of course, we read Racer X. We'd be illegitimate if we didn't read Racer X. My goodness.
And every other publication and every other website, just like everybody else does.
Yeah, we still can't stop it. We still can't stop it.
I get my feed at the store, too. I get all the racers come in, and I see them at the races and stuff, too. But we've got what? We've got Dallas left, Seattle, and then the East meets West in Vegas for the finals. And then, you know, they're already starting to focus their minds and their training and practicing and bike setup on the first outdoor national of the year.
You know that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for. Speaking of the outdoor, back on OLN this year, you know, I didn't like it at first. And I'm sure I read a lot of emails. A lot of people really didn't like it. It's just something about the picture looked fuzzy or something. It looked like a second-rate sport, kind of. You know, it didn't look like they were putting something about it, just the screen, the way they showed it. But hopefully they can get it looking like ESPN had it. And the editing, I think the editing is a little bit better with OLN, seems like. Well, editing was kind of terrible with ESPN.
It could be, and you know what? It's a major accomplishment to cover an outdoor motocross race on television with the cameras and catching all that. And you know, the Supercross thing, I swear, every time they break for commercial and they come back, some big thing happened.
It's like,
and it's not
happened?
Even live. It's, I can, like, see it if happened? It was live and go, well, we're live and
what
we're
happened?
Back now. It's
what
like,
happened?
Okay. We had a commercial and we put it right in the middle of something. Somebody crashed. Somebody got passed. And, hey, we're lucky. I guess we're going to see a replay of
what
it.
What happened? What happened?
So that's my beef on that. But back to the lights and the West. Andrew Short's kind of my guy. And, you know, but getting back to the East and the lights, you know, the thing that was really cool about that is we've seen some people come back up.
We've
seen some emerging stars.
We got a Lacey back.
Davalos came in. He was a relative unknown and just laid it out. And Brandon Jessamine came in and did really good and got a second chance on a Yamaha Troy bike. So that was kind of neat. And, you know, it's nice to see people have that opportunity to get back and do something, be seen there. So,
you know what? We got some thanks to give out this week, too. Finally, huh?
No.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, Jerry. Tell it out.
Okay, here it is. George P., thank you very much, Mr. Elsinore, and we'll see if we can help you out with some Elsinore pictures. George P., I didn't bring the email with me, but he sent us a nice comment, enjoyed the old school, you know, talk, and enjoyed the pictures. So we're going to get some more up there. I just kind of got some teasers up there. We want to make sure that, you know, everything looks good and can get up there. Like I said, our site's going to look like the back of a trailer, like your bike stuffed in the back of a trailer. And a special thanks to, if you like Formula One, check out Formula Pod. These guys kind of inspired me to put all this together and get this together. They've been great to the show. They talk about the show over there at Formula Pod. And if you like Formula One, Corey and Brett are two clowns that kind of take the pumpinicity out of Formula One. That site, their podcast is my second love to this podcast. So, Corey, Brett, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. And that was our email section. But you know what? We got Parnell to thank out there. And where's Colton? Colton, thanks for doing the board for us, you know?
Mini Moto Kids standing strong late at night.
I don't like this 2-week break, though. I know I just had one, but that was issues. I don't like the 2-week break. I can't, I don't know. What are we going to do? We're going to do something, right?
We'll have to
do a Wednesday
night off-site, stick the microphone in Jerry's face wherever you're at.
No, don't stick the mic in my face. I won't say anything. Maybe somebody will call us and say, hey, come out to Vegas. Oh, you know what? I forgot to thank Chris. Thank you very much for the comments. Chris was going to work with us on the show, but this guy's at all the races. He's at Vegas all the time. He's dragging his old lady and kids. Well, he's not dragging his kids, but he's dragging his old lady to all the races. But he's out at all the races. He sent us some nice comments on the podcast. So, Chris, thank you very much. And he's from South Africa. He goes out there and rides and comes back here and rides. He showed me some pictures of him riding on the coast, on the ocean coast.
Wow, Zulu warrior. That's what they used to call Grant,
man.
Right?
Yeah. Grant's a tough guy. I give him all the credit in the world after riding with that broken ankle or whatever he had.
Oh, yeah. With your foot turned the wrong way.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, closing down, if you, like I said, please get, if you want to get a hold of us, it's thirdmoto@yahoo.com. We're going to get some new pictures up there. And we look at the new stuff. We look at the old stuff. We kind of keep ourselves, we can't break out of it, you know. We're like guys stuck in the 70s. We can't break out of it. It's where it started. It's where we started the love for it. And, you know, this is kind of where we're going to keep it. What do you think? We're just going to lay it down in here just like a moto, man. Just like a moto.
I don't know. My head's already on the track. I'm going to go racing this weekend, and I'm just going to jump stuff and have a good time.
If I'm here by myself next podcast...
Thanks a lot. Just what I need to think about.
I'm thinking about telling you not to race.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead and race. Just don't mess up, because you know people are going to want to hear how you did.
Yeah, well, I usually leave enough on the table to bring it home, and sometimes I regret it because I know there's some other people I could have beat, but whatever.
Yeah, like I said, I hate the guys. You come back, the old guys, you used to beat them, and they're smoking a cigarette. What the heck is that about? I don't know.
Oh, well.
Third moto coming at you. We're looking forward to Dallas, Seattle. I don't know if I'm looking more for... Everybody seems to look forward to Vegas. We're looking forward to Dallas and Seattle. Dallas is going to be a turning point between Stewart, Reed, and Carmichael.
You know, I'd say this has been the best Supercross season we've seen in a long time. Pretty much healthy racers, top-line racers. Had a couple boo-boos there. But it's that point of the season where everybody's... They're positioning themselves now. You know, like I was saying, Stewart just going to lay it out and try and win. Now he knows how to not fall down. Carmichael's got the title if he stays in second.
So Stewart needs to win out in order to make this thing exciting. If he finishes second or third...
Well, that won't even do it, because Carmichael has to have a big boofer race.
Yeah,
for the points to tighten up enough for that to mean anything.
He already had that one this year, so he's not going to have another one.
Yeah, he had a bigger boo-boo race than James did, actually.
Yeah, he sure did.
Because he had a DNF.
Yeah.
Broken spring, nothing he could do about it. You know, any way else he could have rode around and got some points out of it. But my question is, as far as the drama goes and how this all plays out,
that's what I'm looking for.
Drama now, how important is
it? Are we talking about DV or are we talking about the race? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Never mind. Drama. The deal is, how important does Ricky Carmichael place on the World Supercross Series with his risk level of taking a chance on losing the AMA Toyota Supercross Series?
I think he wants to take this momentum into the outdoor and thinks he can take the outdoor.
Yeah, but does he want to get the World Supercross title and the AMA Supercross title?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
But at the risk of losing the AMA Supercross title if he makes a mistake?
No, I think...
See what I'm saying?
I don't mean anything by it, but I think the AMA Supercross is more important to him.
It definitely is. We know it is. Is it more important than him taking a chance to try and win the World Supercross Series, which he has to lay out James Stewart and beat him fair and square?
He's learned his lessons, looks like. He's learned his lessons.
Or is he going to actually hope that James Stewart has a boo-boo race, and then that's how he's going to take the world title?
No. Usually when Stewart has a boo-boo race, he takes himself out, and sometimes he takes Ricky with him. So he doesn't want that. He definitely doesn't want that. If he doesn't do anything at Dallas, it's pretty much over. Then we're going to focus on the lights. And then, you know, but I think he wants to take all that momentum and take it in the outdoor, because, you know, win all these races and then taking that momentum in the outdoor, I think he's going to think he can win the outdoor, if anything. He's
going to go and get tired. And then retire.
Don't say that. You know, we gotta keep doing the show. So we
need him. Well, that's right. Because when he leaves, then what do we got?
Third moto. We got third moto, and this is all we got. Well, Rich, another great show. Another show I enjoyed.
Right on, Jerry. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to Third Moto.
Peace. Ride safe. Keep it on a wheel and a half.
Third Moto Production. in association with Billion Dollar Music and Dark Urban Symphony Entertainment.
You know what I mean? But if you-
I don't want that to happen because then that puts Carmichael close to retirement.
You know what I mean? But if you-